Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're jumping right in today with Bloody Civilian, a really exciting Nigerian singer-songwriter, producer, signed to 0207 Def Jam. That's the UK side of Def Jam.
Yep.
We've got a bunch of sources, Wikipedia, a great metal magazine interview, her website, an article about her Nigerian roots. So our mission today, really get under the hood, understand what makes her tick, you know, her identity, her music.
Yeah. Looking through this, what really jumps out is how her personal story, her background, it's all just woven right into her music. It's not just songs. It's a whole narrative, right? Shaped by everything she's lived.
Let's kick off with something really striking, that name, Bloody Civilian. It definitely sticks with you. And the sources say it has a pretty intense origin.
It really does. The info you pulled shows Bloody Civilian actually started as a derogatory term used by the army in northern Nigeria, where she grew up. And, you know, these sources mention it was an area with a lot of military conflict.
Wow. So meant to put people down, ordinary folks. But here's the fascinating part. She didn't just ignore it. She, like, took it back.
Exactly. She totally reclaimed it, made it a symbol of empowerment. That Metal Magazine piece really hits on this. She says, yeah, I am an ordinary civilian, but she's making that term hers, using it to, you know, push back against norms, amplify her voice. It's such a clear example of finding strength in something negative, flipping the script.
Yeah, it's a real aha moment, seeing that transformation.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dig into her early life. Northern Nigeria, Kaduna, Jos, Abuja. Seems like that environment really shaped her art.
Oh, definitely. The sources all point to her growing up there amid that conflict as a huge source of inspiration. The Guardian piece even tracks her from Kaduna to Black Panther, you know, really shows the impact. And we also see from Wikipedia and Metal Magazine that she had a pretty conservative upbringing, not a lot of freedom to just roam around.
Quite different from the vibe you get from her music now, that outspokenness. But even with those limits, sounds like music was always there. She started writing songs at, 8 years old? That's incredible.
Yeah, 8. And it wasn't just like a phase. The sources say she was in school talent shows, performing her own songs. Apparently, people knew the words. Then she started making beats for school rappers, kind of teaching herself production. Just shows that early drive.
And her dad was a big part of that, right? He used to be a touring bass player before becoming an engineer. That's kind of wild.
It is. The Metal Magazine interview talks about that. He exposed her to all sorts of stuff, blues, instrumental jazz, African music. And crucially, he was the one who saw it as more than a hobby, even when she didn't at first. He actually wanted her to study music formally.
Wow.
That early support must have been massive. Makes you wonder how all that early exposure, you know, kind of led to the genre bending stuff she does now.
Totally. Those seeds were planted early, even if the path wasn't clear yet. Okay, so let's track her musical journey. She started out as a producer, right? Behind the scenes first.
Yeah, that's key. Having that production background probably gives her this amazing level of control over her sound. We saw that with her first single, How to Kill a Man, back in 2022. That was a statement.
For sure. Wikipedia points out she wrote it, produced it, and shot and directed the video herself. That's serious control from day one.
Yeah.
And it was the lead single off her first EP, Anger Management. Her website calls the song tongue-in-cheek but furious, looking at misogyny and injustice.
Yeah, that mix of serious stuff with dark humor seems like her thing early on. Then later in 2022 came Wake Up with Rima. Big deal, right? Because it landed on the Black Panther, Wakanda Forever soundtrack.
Huge. And again, Wikipedia says she wrote and produced that one too. Just shows her range, doesn't it? It makes you think how those production skills don't just shape her sound, but also open these massive doors like Wakanda Forever.
Absolutely. And it fits perfectly with what she says about wanting to uplift African art globally. I mean, Black Panther. Huge platform. Then 2023, she drops I Don't Like You, an escapism, also from Anger Management. The full EP came out independently through Def Jam in June 23.
Right. And it didn't stop there. There was a remix EP later that year, Anger Management. At least WE tried, released via 0207 Def Jam. Loads of guest artists on that one.
Yeah, that remix project really expanded on the original tracks, brought in different voices, different takes, shows she's collaborative, and that her music was already connecting with other artists.
Okay, let's really get into her sound. Afrofusion is the term that keeps popping up. What does that actually mean in her music?
Well, based on everything here, it seems like Afrofusion for her is this mix, a blend of genres, but always with African music right at the heart. Metal Magazine lists Afrobeats, jazz, pop, R&B, but stresses those African elements are central. She even says she tries to weave everything African into her experiments. It's interesting to think how each genre adds its own flavor, you know?
And it sounds like it's not some calculated formula. She says it just happens. That's really interesting. Suggests it's just naturally part of who she is as an artist.
It does, yeah. Like, these influences are just baked in. And she clearly appreciates lots of other music, too. She mentions Amapiano, gives a shout-out to Niniola, and talks about liking the simplicity of pop, the storytelling in rap. That openness probably just feeds back into her own creativity.
So she's soaking it all in. Fascinating how it all comes together in her unique sound. What about lyrically? What kind of ground does she cover?
The sources all say she's really honest, really direct, often tackling social issues head on. How to Kill a Man, we talked about that, taking on misogyny, injustice, with that dark humor. You got to wonder how that hits people who feel the same way.
Yeah. And Where I Am From, off the EP, apparently gets into social issues, politics in Nigeria. So she's definitely not avoiding the tough stuff, the reality where she comes from.
Not at all. Metal Magazine mentions her bigger goal is to empower, platform, and uplift African art globally. The Black Panther thing is a huge part of that, obviously, putting her work on that massive stage. She also talks about wanting to be honest, like address the elephant in the room and using humor to deal with intense feelings. That seems key to how to Kill a Man landed back in Nigeria. It suggests she really gets how to use her art to talk about complex things.
It really sounds like that honesty and tackling tough topics, sometimes with humor, just connects with people deeply. Okay, let's go back to her production side. We know she was doing that before performing.
Yeah, and how she started is pretty wild. Metal Magazine talks about her messing around with Audacity around age 12, making like a cappella beats just vocal sounds, no instruments, using stuff like buckets and toothbrushes in her dorm. That resourcefulness is amazing.
That's pure ingenuity. Making instruments out of anything. It wasn't until she was about 16 that she got more serious, got proper tools.
Right. But you know, those early experiments, they must have built this deep understanding of sound, rhythm. She says her production skills are totally tied into her songwriting now. Lets her build the whole sonic story. She hears drums, bass, everything. Having that complete control is a huge part of her artistry.
It really shows she's thinking about the entire sound, not just the melody or words. Now, what about key relationships? Signing with Tunji Balogun at Def Jam, that's big. He signed Tems, SCA, Kendrick Lamar. Huge names.
Yeah, that's a massive endorsement. And her manager is Semi Chubbs, co-founder of Native, also worked on the Black Panther soundtrack. These are influential people who clearly believe in her.
And it seems she's learned a lot from working with him. Metal Magazine mentions her realizing how unpredictable industry connections can be and how vital it is to just stay true to yourself. She also really values that her team gets the artist's perspective. That's crucial, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Having that understanding, that shared vision, probably gives her a lot of creative freedom, confidence. Finding a team that gets you and respects your art, that's gold for any artist.
Sounds like she's landed in a good spot professionally. How does she see herself changing as an artist over time?
She talks about getting more honest, maybe more willing to push things, even calls herself more unhinged as she's gotten older, prioritizing her truth. There's this sense of being more comfortable, wiser, just more skilled. She mentions feeling like she can do a million and one things now that she couldn't before. Just constant growth.
That's the sign of a real artist, right? Always learning, pushing. She also talks about where her strength comes from. Sounds like she's had to build up a lot of inner resilience.
Totally. She talks about needing to just keep going, especially when maybe external support, like for mental health, isn't always there. And she's open about being on the autism spectrum, having reading issues, ADHD, but she now sees these as a superpower in music. That's incredibly powerful, reframing challenges like that.
So inspiring to hear her talk about that openly and how she's channeled it into her art. Adds another whole layer. Okay, let's loop back to Wake Up and Black Panther. That seems like such a turning point, really raised her profile.
It really was. Her manager, Chubbs, recommended her when they were looking for a female producer for the soundtrack. She sent in some beats, they picked one, and she wrote her verse. The song's theme, waking up, pushing forward, fit the movie perfectly. And co-producing with Ludwig Göransson, I mean, that showed off her unique pop sound, those Caribbean vibes, to a massive global audience.
Wow, working with someone like Göransson must have been huge, a real boost. Put her on a world stage. So who is she making music for? Does she have a target audience in mind?
Interestingly, she says she doesn't really aim for a specific demographic, But she feels this natural pull towards Nigerians, thinks they'll connect with her music inherently. But ultimately, she just wants to make music for people who get it, who make her feel welcome and safe. It's more about that real connection than like marketing demographics.
That sounds very much like her authentic heart first. And it seems like that approach is working, looking at the recognition she's getting. Those turntable chart rankings are impressive. Number one on the NXT Emerging list, top 20 on the main artist chart.
Yeah, hitting number one on the emerging chart and 16 overall. That's huge for someone starting out. Plus, Enemy named her an essential emerging artist for 2023. The Guardian Nigeria called her a radical talent. And being featured on the Bob Marley biopic EP, One Love announced early 2024, plus the Headies nomination for Rookie of the Year. It's a lot of buzz, a lot of validation pretty quickly. Shows the impact she's making.
It really does highlight her impact and the industry's belief in her. From a bloody civilian to this rising force, it's been quite the ride already.
Absolutely. Her story is just such a powerful example of, you know, taking back your narrative, being truly yourself even when things are tough. Her Nigerian roots aren't just background. They're the foundation of who she is as an artist.
So wrapping up this deep dive on Bloody Civilian, it's crystal clear her artistic identity is just so deeply connected to her Nigerian heritage, her life experiences, those societal challenges, and this fearless, multi-talented approach she has, singer, songwriter, producer. Her journey really shows the power of flipping negative labels and just being authentically you.
Totally. And it leaves us with something for you, the listener, to chew on. Given all her diverse influences, her commitment to honesty, how do you think her unique Afrofusion sound might keep evolving? How might it impact the global scene, especially in representing all the amazing creativity coming out of Africa? We definitely encourage you to check out her music and think about that bigger picture, artistic identity, cultural influence in today's music world.